والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ان الله هو الرزاق ذو القوه المتين صدق الله العظيم All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the choicest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon his most beloved Nabi, our leader, Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the numerous bounties and blessings that he has bestowed upon us. And we ask Allah ta'ala to give us the opportunity and to assist us in rendering thanks and acknowledging all these bounties, to be aware of them and to acknowledge them, and then even to say with your tongue the shukr is also some level, alhamdulillah. And thereafter with our actions, inshallah, we show more shukr and more gratitude to these great bounties. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owes us nothing. It is just his bounty and his kindness that he continuously showers us with so many blessings. The beautiful hadith of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where it is mentioned once, فرجل من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال كنا في مجلس في مجلس فطلع علينا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. That once we were sitting in a gathering and talking, and then Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم came upon us. وعلى رأسه ماء أثر ماء, and on his head there were signs of water dripping, like he probably just had ghusl, and he was still looking very fresh at that time, with all the water still dripping down. When he came upon us, we saw this. فَقُلْنَا نَرَاكَ طِيبَ النَّفْسِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. We see you in a very good mood today. You're looking very fresh because of the ghusl that he had. Sometimes, you know, we see a person, we say, you're looking good. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that point in time was looking very, very fresh because of the ghusl. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ سَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَجَلْ فَخَاذَ الْقَوْمُ فِي ذِكْرِ الْغِنَى. So this person said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, I'm feeling very good today. Then the nation sitting there, the people there, discussion went towards discussing wealth, which is a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes people don't realize it. People don't know where does wealth fit in a society, in a community. And people, they go to extreme lengths in acquiring it, or even treating others who don't have it, or treating others badly who have it, treating badly. In the sense that many times you find people in society are ranked and graded according to what they own and what they possess. So if a person possesses something, then everybody, they got a lot of attention for him, got a lot of time for him. They will talk about him also with a serious look on their face, almost like you have to make wuzu before you talk about him. So that serious look they give, because he owns something. And another fellow who owns nothing, the way they will talk about him, like after you speak, you have to wash your mouth again because you spoke about him, because he's so nothing, because he owns nothing. Whereas wealth is a gift, it's a blessing of Allah. It's a test. It comes and it goes. And so much of emphasis and so much of discussion goes around it. Go into any wedding, go into any social gathering and see where the discussion goes. Like the Sahabi is saying, our discussion also went there. So the discussion just goes around that. Somebody is boasting about how he, mashallah, made a deal and whatever, he profited. And someone else is boasting of how he did somebody else down and how he pulled a scam and how he did this and how he did that. Whereas these are not things that people are supposed to boast about. These are not things where people should become jealous about. People get jealous and depressed sometimes when they hear other people's wealthy stories. And we know the one very famous saying, it is in Arabic, I think, that wealth is the dirt of the hand, in the sense that when you wash it off, it's gone. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. We know the famous saying, we say, you know, it changes hands. So people overdo it sometimes. There's this very poor fellow who used to sell betel nut in the gum, supari for the pan. He was a very poor person. And he used to sell on the roadside, he used to buy a few. Then people who eat pan used to come and used to give them that. Then it so happened he had to go work. He got a job in the Middle Eastern countries. And when he got there, he saw a lot of his co-countrymen there, and they all were starving for pan. So he made a plan and he started providing and supplying all the little things that go, because pan got a lot of things that go with it. And one of the things he specialized in was importing from his village and from his town, from India, this supari. And alhamdulillah, he made it so well that he didn't have to work for his set, as he says. He came back this side. And when he came back on this side here, now he was supplying to people who he had earmarked on that side to continue giving them. And he made it big time, alhamdulillah. But there's something strange he was doing at night, because now he was very, very in a different bracket. His wife sees he's sitting there by the safe and he's talking to the money. So she thought this man lost it. He got so much money, you know, they say money made him mad. Listening. Then she said, what has happened? Every night I see you standing talking there by the money. What you? He said, no, I'm okay. What are you saying? He said, no, you see, I'm just saying today to the money. Muhammad Bai gave you salam, Ismail Bai gave you salam, this one gave you salam. She said, but why are you doing that? He said, because when I didn't have money, nobody used to greet me. And now when I came back, mashallah, everybody's making me salam. So it's not me. It's they inside the safe. So I'm making them all salam. I'm passing the salams on to them. So what we see, just by the story, here we show how people they raise and how they drop people. Whereas before the rich people to come, you give them two smacks, you didn't put enough supari in the pan. What kind is this? Nevertheless, my respected friends and brothers, going back to the discussion of hadith, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, La ba'sa fil ghina liman ittaqillah, that to be rich and to be wealthy is nothing wrong. A lot of times people, they condemn wealth and they condemn the wealthy. And they make it sound like it's such a big sin, you know, to be involved in making money and to be rich. That's probably because of the action of certain people. One Maulana came in one town, he gave a bayan, and he gave it. He hammered wealth and the wealthy people. But the problem he didn't realize, after namaz, he took his book and go and collect from wherever he came. So people say, you ran this thing down. You say, money takes you to Jahannam and this, and we going to Jahannam. Why you came here to take now things that's going to take us to Jahannam? So there's a balance. We need to understand that it is a very great ni'mat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La ba'asa. There's nothing wrong. La ba'asa bil ghina liman ittaqillah. That the one who has got fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's nothing wrong with that. And then we find, when is this? What is this taqwa with regard to wealth? You get taqwa for everything. You get taqwa for the person that is teaching in the school. You get taqwa for the doctor who must conduct himself in a manner when he is treating his patients. He has to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has to be conscious. You get taqwa for a mechanic also. That when the people go to him for their cars, whatever it is, he fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you get taqwa for a person in a masjid who is performing salah. You get taqwa for us who are standing and talking here. So there is taqwa, that is the consciousness of Allah and the consciousness of fulfilling your obligations, fearing Allah Ta'ala for everybody in whichever field he might find himself. Everyone got his own taqwa, his own fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in executing his responsibilities. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the one who has got the taqwa of being wealth, there's nothing wrong for him. And we must remember that when we speak about the taqwa of wealth, then there are three or four things we must keep in mind very briefly, which we have spoken here before also. The one is that the manner in which that wealth has been acquired must be with taqwa. It must be with the proper niyyah. It must be that this is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I must go and earn my livelihood. If it is done with intentions that are incorrect, that I need to use this wealth to boost my image, that I can become a Mr. Oppenheimer of my community, then that is the wrong niyyah. Likewise, if a person's intention is this, that he wants to use that wealth in the wrong way, then also that wealth, that is not the taqwa of wealth. Another person's entire operation is such that it is haram, the way he's acquiring it, the way he's doing people down, the way he's lying and deceiving and cheating and concealing the items and whatever the things that he's selling. He's lying big time. So such a person must remember that when his wealth is coming, it's not coming according to taqwa. So this person Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking about, for him wealth is not good because he does not have the relative taqwa for that wealth, of acquiring that particular wealth. And there's one hadith where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that, مَنْ كَانَ نِيَتُهُ طَلَبَ الدُّنْيَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ فَقْرَ بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ, that whoever makes wealth the object of his life, his whole niyyah is just that, that this is my God and this is my everything. And in the process, he forgets Allah Ta'ala, he breaks the orders of Allah, he does not fulfill the right of the wealth. And such a person, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala puts poverty in front of his eyes. Meaning what? He can be very rich, but he'll always be fearing poverty. He'll always think he is very poor. He'll always be in the state of insecurity. That's why we say there's one multi-millionaire, he went into depression because he met a billionaire. Say, oh, I feel so poor in front of this man. How do I now come right? So what we are saying is that there has to be the proper niyyah with regard to how a person is earning his wealth, and he does it in relation and in accordance to the taqwa that is needed to earn the livelihood, and then it's a very great thing for him to be a wealthy person. Then we find the second thing with regard to that is where a person spends whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted him. Because this spending of the wealth in a situation where it is gone to waste, where it is done for fame, you know, a person feels, you know, I'm the Oppenheimer, again, I'm using that surname, just for a better use of a better surname. I'm the Oppenheimer of my community. I'm in that bracket. So I must do things in that style. And in the process, what he does is he flaunts and he wastes, he makes israf. So everybody must talk about it. Everybody must make him feel good about it. People forget, actually. I always say, the men folk, poor people, they don't even know. The ladies come from their side of the hall in the wedding and they say, was there, what was the color scheme? The fellow say, I don't know. Was there overlays? I don't know. What color was the flowers? I don't know. I just know the Gajar Halwa was very nice. So the person forgets, and then what did the man do? He went out of his way to try and impress and to boast, whatever it might be. Remember that hadith where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, there are five questions that are going to be asked to a person on the day of Qiyamah. Where he spent his life, where he spent his youth, how he earned his wealth, and how he spent his wealth. So it became, a person can have all. Spend it in the correct way. Spend it in moderation. We're not saying if you're a very, very wealthy person, I must feed the people on newsprint. Now that's again another extreme. But it has to be done with moderation. Israf is not accepted. When a person is doing something, he must know where to do it. So nevertheless, there's a second point of taqwa when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says there is nothing wrong for a person who has got the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have this wealth and this ni'mat, this blessing of wealth. Then also we must remember, a lot of times people's niyyah is not correct when it is, I am only earning for myself. If our niyyah is that I have got poor people in my family, I have got obligations towards the human being, towards fellow human beings who I need to help. So if his niyyah is correct and if his niyyah is that, then he has got taqwa of his wealth. Then he will use that wealth for those people that are unfortunate, starting always with his family. And then the circle goes out and the next level of the family and then other people. So often we hear of people who are stretching and spreading their hands out, you know, and they are really poor. But their own immediate families have got so much wealth, and where they're sending it, they're sending it all over overseas. They're sending it to all other kinds of projects which may be correct or not correct, we don't know. If your brother or your sister or your uncle or your nephew or whoever is not having a decent meal and is sleeping hungry, what good is that kind of charity you are doing all other parts of the world? And sometimes because of our relationship with them, with our families, we become so cross with them for whatever reason it might be, we withhold. And I'll never give him. We don't withhold from anybody because of our own ego and for our own difficulties. We had a fight with him, or his wife had a fight with my wife, so from this month I'm not going to be giving him his monthly. Give it and give it with the proper niyat and give it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a very important point to keep. That is also with regard to the taqwa of being in a wealthy position. And finally, the fourth one, which we'll conclude now, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is repeatedly, and the Quran is also spoken about, the taqwa of wealth in as far as fulfilling the other rights of wealth, starting with the zakat, and thereafter the wajib sadaqah, and then the community needs. We have masajid, we have madaris, we have whatever it might be. Those are important obligations. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it to a person and his niyyah is also correct, then and he fulfills it, then alhamdulillah, he has fulfilled the taqwa and the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in relation to that wealth. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا بأس بالغنى لمن اتق الله. There is nothing wrong for a person to be wealthy if he is from amongst those people who's got the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what our life is about, alhamdulillah. From morning to night, we are all moving around from here to there. Livelihood, keep our niyyah, our priorities in front of us. Why am I doing it? I must do it to the right niyyah. Inshallah, we will see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase us. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up the doors of rosy. How Allah ta'ala makes it easy. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. If you have got taqwa in whatever you're doing, Allah will open up for you doors from such avenues which you should not even imagine. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued the second part. And he says, وَالصِّحَّةُ خَيْرٌ وَالصِّحَّةُ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْغِنَى لِمَنِ اتَّقِ اللَّهِ. That the one who has got fear of Allah, while for him to be wealthy is good, good health is even better for him. And that is something we cannot understand many times until when good health is taken away from us. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that while wealth is a ni'mat, siha, good health, is also a ni'mah. If a person does not have good health, and if he has got a lot of wealth, we know how often people cannot do so many things. They cannot sleep on a certain kind of a bed. They have to sleep on a board. They have to sleep on the floor. MashaAllah, he can afford whatever kind of bed. What kind of food he can't eat? He's got all the money in the world, but he can't enjoy his food. He can't travel. He can't travel in certain cars. He can't travel for long distance. He can't go and see all over the world. He's got everything. Why? He's got everything, but he does not have siha. He does not have good health. So this is such a great ni'mat where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that to have siha is also a great ni'mat, and is better for the one who's got the taqwa, who's got the fear of Allah. And the one who has got siha, apart from enjoying the worldly things, he can also make such ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which he can't make when he's ill. So many times people are in a situation where they cannot even perform their salah, they cannot even make tilawat, they cannot even make ibadat. Unfortunately, that is the reality of life. We're not saying it's a bad thing. But what we are saying is, we are saying what happens when siha is taken, good health. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, people take good health for granted. Two things they take for granted. Ni'matani maghbunun fihima kathirun minan nas. There are two ni'mats people are very, very unmindful and they take for granted, and they are basically deceived about it. One is siha, one is good health, and the other one is al-faragh, free time. A person thinks his health is going to stay with him forever. It's not like that, my brothers. It goes, it starts going, it starts taking different forms. So therefore, a person must make sure that when he's got it, he must make the best, use it productively in every way to make his akhirah and to be a benefit to humanity and humankind at large. And the other one is free time, because people got, I got no time, I don't know how to pass my time, I'm so bored. So this man doesn't know what a great ni'mat time is, and the day when the time is taken away from him, then he realizes, you know, I had so much time, I just whiled it away. So that's the second thing. And obviously, when a person doesn't have good health, he doesn't have rest also. He cannot sleep properly, he cannot sit properly, he cannot just do anything. So that's why we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that ni'mat also. And the third thing which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in this hadith, he says, وَثِيبُ النَّفْسِ مِنَ النَّعِيمِ. To have a good disposition, in other words, to have a good frame of mind. You know, what we say, peace of mind, is also from among the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person has got that peace of mind, then he can read salah properly, he can walk in the house with a nice smile on his face, and he can put his head on the pillow and he can sleep away nicely. He is not overcome with a whole lot of worries. But that doesn't mean that if a person has got worries, he's got a problem. Because no matter how pious a person may be, no matter how good a person may be, people do have worries. We all have got worries. No one sitting here can say, I got no worries in this world. Everyone has got some or other worry. Some have got a bigger worry, some have got a smaller worry. So the worries are there. But when will we say this man does not have peace of mind? Is when those worries take away all his rest. It takes away the joy of life, and he is frustrated and he is angry with everybody. Some even get angry with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at times. They start saying, what is wrong now? Why is Allah ta'ala treating me like this? It's the wrong thing to say. But their worries are of such a nature that they don't know how to, they don't have the smile on their face. They don't have the opportunity of saying, you know what, I make shukr to Allah ala kulli hal. Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal. I praise Allah ta'ala under all circumstances. Inshallah, this is the test. It's going to bring me closer to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love me more. Those words don't come on their tongue. They just go on a total negative, as a result of which nothing in their life, not their ibadat, not their living, not interaction with people is of joy. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yeah, that that is also a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many times we ourselves must ask, why did this peace of mind be taken away from me? Why was I robbed of peace of mind? Many times our own actions are such. We go and put our fingers and our hands in such activities and in such things, then we find ourselves that we cause the thing. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and even the Quran says, that a lot of musibat that befalls you, for bima kasabat aydikum, which is on account of your own hands. So before we do certain actions, we need to be careful. Don't bring it upon ourselves. And if something comes our way, we turn to Allah Ta'ala. Sometimes it's not our fault. Certain things befall us, it takes away our sleep, it brings a lot of worry. We turn to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala listens, and Allah Ta'ala makes that thing bring us very close to Him. So many people, they say, when this thing befell me, then I turned to Allah subhanAllah. So that was actually a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nevertheless, this was a beautiful hadith, and it mentions the three ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All are ni'mats, everything is a ni'mat, as long as we use it with this in mind, that I have to answer to Allah, I have to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.